It's Saturday here on the North Shore Drive podcast, and it's time for the Acrisure Fan Advantage, where we talk to Bo Brack, who's been covering the Cardinals for years for PHNX Sports. We're going to cover a big part of this matchup, because while many Steelers fans are looking at this as a breakout game, you always have to watch out for the trap game from any team, and the Cardinals got a quarterback that they're investing a lot in right now. That's Kyler Murray. We'll talk all that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Find all our written work at post-gazette.com. Find this show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the day before the Steelers game right on your favorite podcasting apps or on YouTube by searching Post-Gazette Sports. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get it. And remember, today's episode is the Acrisure Fan Advantage, where the Fan Advantage brings you closer to the Steelers than ever before all season long. Friday, we answer your questions that you submitted through the Acrisure Fan Advantage from our insider, Brian Batko. And then Saturdays, we talk with an opponent expert on the team that Steelers are about to play each week. Visit acrisure.com/advantage to learn more. I've got an old friend of mine, Bo Brack. Bo used to be on the Locked On Podcast Network with me. Now he's working at PHNX Sports, and he's killing it out there. And he's got palm trees in the background. He's looking like he's enjoying that Arizona weather while we're trying to stay warm here in Pittsburgh. But I'm pleased to welcome to the program, Bo, it's great to see your face again, sir.
Likewise, my friend. I'm glad to join you. I'm not trying to rub it in anybody's face. This is actually what we would consider a little cold today. But I'm not going to say any more, because I don't want to get dragged by your listeners, your viewers out there that are brave in the elements.
Listen, there's Pittsburghers. There's some Pittsburghers that live for the cold. I don't understand those people. But the people like me that are just like, man, can we stay above the 60 level? That's all I need. But let's get to this matchup real quick. And let's talk about the Cardinals specifically. We've done a lot of talk all week long. Minkah Fitzpatrick is back for the Steelers. There's stuff there, and we'll get more into the Steelers part of things. But Kyler Murray is, I think, a kind of polarizing figure for the Cardinals right now, if for Cardinals fans, because when I look around, I see some people that are like, he's still the future, invest in him, build around him, make him that guy. But he suffered an injury that made him miss most of the season. He's been back. He's had some really good moments. He's had some not so good moments. And it's still just part of a 2-10 team that is struggling to find answers right now with a new head coach. There's so many moving parts there. What do you see the Cardinals doing around Kyler Murray? Do you think this franchise still believes that he's going to be the guy?
Yeah, you know, polarizing is a good way to put it, no doubt about it. And it's one of those kind of more unprecedented situations where this is a full-on rebuild that Monty Austenfort and first-year head coach Jonathan Gannon have been tasked with. And very rarely in those situations do you have the franchise quarterback figured out. And they just handed Kyler Murray the previous season, you know, this big $230.5 million extension that kicks in next season. And really, to get out from under that, they would have to make that decision early in the upcoming offseason. So they've got to figure out a lot for a guy coming off an injury, learning a brand new offense, and really kind of having the infrastructure for the first time in his career that it's not Cliff Kingsbury and, you know, an ill-equipped general manager and Steve Keim. I think that this rebuild, the direction that they're going, it's rock solid. And they've got the ability, Chris, to pivot any direction this upcoming offseason. It's just Kyler Murray needs to kind of prove himself in some capacity. I think he just needs to show that he's capable and he has that skill set that people kind of fawned over for the first, you know, three seasons of his, now him in his fifth season with the Cardinals. I think he showed early on against Atlanta with the Falcons with that win come from behind right out of the gates that mm-hmm. that he can be that guy. And then has come back down to earth and is somebody that, you know, it's going to take a little time. You got to temper those expectations. But I think Kyler Murray being the incumbent and having that deal, he's got the opportunity, unless he completely bottoms out between now and the end of the season, to continue on as the franchise quarterback, to pivot to a guy, two guys at the top of the draft, which the Arizona Cardinals are in striking distance for, you know, one or two. Right now they stand at second overall. You know, Drake May with his 24 touchdowns in the ACC and 9 interceptions, you know, I think he's viewed more as a rawer prospect. And it could be you're just kind of maybe adding more years to when you're competitive in this rebuild. And I think Jonathan Gannon is somebody that's kind of encouraged by Kyler Murray. He's not down on him despite his recent struggles. I think he kind of expected this with the new offense. I mean, this is Kyler Murray's pivoting from an offense that he played since he started playing organized football. And this is the first time he's playing more of a pro style with Drew Petzing. And I think that they're being patient because they know this is a long play and it would take just drastic, catastrophic results from Kyler Murray the rest of the way out for them to say, you know what, we're going to try to pivot off of this and see what we can get in return and then go with the rookie quarterback contract 24 and beyond.
Listen, that's a big part of this, right? Is figuring out, you know, if he can be the guy. And it sounds like if he does maintain what he's doing right now, he can be that. 66 completions on 107 attempts, 719 yards. And this is just through three games, two touchdowns, two interceptions. He's kind of had a balance. And the other part that I always point out is that when you throw quarterbacks into situations like this, you also have to deal with the hand that you've been dealt, and his offensive line isn't that great right now. Granted, they have Paris Johnson Jr., who, like Broderick Jones, is a first round pick this year. And I think Paris Johnson Jr. has kind of held it down as best as he can from the right tackle spot. He's kind of he's been there, and he hasn't had great moments, but he's also had some good moments. And I think that for a rookie in the middle of a really bad team this year, I think he's kind of been kind of the guy that you need him to be so that he can grow moving forward. But when I look at the rest of this offense, I mean, sure, James Conner, Steelers fans know exactly who he is, but it seems to me like Kyler Murray's going to have to keep doing a lot to carry the rest of this offense. Do you see something like that coming, where he's kind of holding it at the level that he needs to right now for the Cardinals, so that they can kind of build on this quickly in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of an unfair task to give Kyler Murray to show and prove himself in the short sample size, you know, relative to an NFL season. And you know, previous he had the opportunity for the first four seasons, but he's doing it for this new regime to do it with the receivers that he has or lack thereof. I mean, when we look at the who's going to be available and who's not going to be available come Sunday, I mean, Hollywood Brown, his best buddy from Oklahoma that he has a decent rapport with here at the pro level in about a season and a half now of time together, he's questionable. He's banged up. He's undersized. Like, is he going to be able to win the 50-50 matchups? Is he physical enough to do it? And Hollywood Brown's in a contract year himself and needs to prove himself. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to try to give himself a go. Michael Wilson, a rookie that they drafted at Stanford that I think they're pretty excited about, already ruled out for the game. So it's Kyler Murray kind of down to the undersized receiving core that the previous general manager drafted and added to this roster, and not really having an opportunity, like not a full complement of playmakers to get the job done. So he is going to have to kind of put on a Superman cape, even though I don't think he's even well equipped at this point to go out there and make those plays. And especially against this daunting defense, TJ Watt and crew, they can just train wreck a game. It's just, when you look at this, it's the facelift. It got started this season, but I mean, he's got three wide receivers under contract going into next year, and it's Rondell Moore and it's Zach Pascal and it's Michael Wilson. Like, Hollywood Brown's looking at a very realistic, you know, future where he's not wearing a Cardinals uniform. And we'll see what they do with the rest of the squad, but they like big bodied guys. Like, Monty Austinfort has a type. It's over 6 feet, the general manager. So they're going to move away from a failed experiment, get these undersized guys. But for right now, you know, the successors, they're paying for the sins of their predecessors. And Kyler Murray, unfortunately, is going to have to kind of make chicken salad and chicken poop as far as these playmakers go. But Trey McBride is a guy that's emerged. I think, you know, he's questionable. He's questionable, but he should be good to go. And he's broken out. They got rid of Zach Ertz this week, which is, looks like it's a kind of a mutually beneficial parting of ways. And Trey McBride, if second round pick from 2023 is emerged, or 2022 has emerged this season, he's a big time playmaker for Kyler Murray. He's going to have to be on Sunday.
So like you said, the Steelers defense was, I believe, ranks fifth right now in scoring in the NFL. They're going to, that's the team that they're up against right now. Kyler Murray, who's trying to figure out how to make this offense go and is already missing one wide receiver, might be missing another top receiver and even potentially the tight end who's emerged to be the top tight end on the Cardinals team. I want to talk about a few other matchups on the other side of the ball and keep elements to this game. We'll do that in a minute with Bo Brack from PHNX Sports here on the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post. Is that Chris Carter? I'm your host here. But first, I want to remind you this show is brought to you by the Acrisure Fan Advantage, where all season long the Fan Advantage brings you closer to the Steelers than ever before. Remember, Fridays, get your questions before Friday so the Steelers insider Brian Batko can get your questions on the show. We'll discuss those questions on each Friday episode of the North Shore Drive podcast. Then on the day before the game, whether it's Saturday like this week or Wednesday night like next week, we'll do the Acrisure Fan Advantage with an opponent expert breaking down the team that the Steelers are about to play. Again, acrisure.com/fanadvantage for all those submitted questions today. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, it's the Acrisure Fan Advantage on Saturday here with Bo Brack from PHNX Sports. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's dip into some other things here. Bo, it seems like the defensive side of the ball has also gone through it for the Cardinals. Kaiser White, people that Western Pennsylvania know very well from his time in West Virginia, is out on injured reserve. And it looks like they're going to have to start two rookie cornerbacks as Antonio Hamilton Sr. is out for the game, yeah. Which means Garrett Williams and Catrell Clark look like they're the starters there. There's a lot of people in Pittsburgh talking about right now. They've been waiting for the Kenny Pickett breakout game, and they got over 400 yards last week. Yay! But they still only scored 16 points. Some people are looking at this as the opportunity. You're at home. You're healthy. You're playing a banged-up Cardinals team. It's 2-10. They're coming to you from the West Coast. This has to be the week that takes it over. What do you see from these rookie cornerbacks? Are these guys kind of playing above board right now, or are these kind of guys just here because they have to be here? And is this a game that you think that could get out of hand if the Steelers hit on a couple things?
You know, they're trying to wash the taste out of their mouth from last week where the Los Angeles Rams had a pretty easy time and they established the run, right? And I think that's obviously what Pittsburgh is well-versed to do with Eddie Faulkner taking over. But I think that, yeah, they should challenge guys like Keetrell Clark, who's encouraging, right? As a sixth-round pick out of Louisville, he competes his butt off, but is he equipped to go against some of these talented wide receivers from Pittsburgh? You know, it was nice to see what he brought when he returned to the starting lineup last week. And then, you know, Garrett Williams is more the third round pick, their top corner that they selected in this previous draft. He's been playing a lot of slot and nickel, and I think he's going to stay there. And they really like that. And that's a starting position for the Cardinals. A lot of nickel looks on defense. And he's in there with those safeties more like Jalen Thompson and Buda Baker. And that's the strength of this defense, no doubt about it. And that's where they get their best coverage from Thompson and Garrett Williams and Buda Baker. But on the outside, it really is a questionable spot. And with Marco Wilson, a third-year player who's just had a brutal season, he'll probably work his way back into some snaps on Sunday. But he's been basically toast all season long. And then you got a guy in David Wilson who's been on the practice squad who's probably going to see some snaps. So it should be a get-right game, no doubt about it. But those guys are going to be out there, and if they're in positions to at least be in the right spot on the field, I think that that's all they can ask for as they look for these guys to develop, and they're figuring out throughout a rebuild, you know, who's coming with them. You know, are they going to be a part of the piece of the puzzle going forward? And this is one of those matchups. Can they compete against, you know, Kenny Pickett, who's struggled in a passing attack that struggled this season? I think that's what the Cardinals are going to evaluate with Keetrell Clark and Wilson, in both Wilson corners.
The Cardinals defense right now ranks 31st in scoring defense, 26th in total defense. They're 15th in passing yardage, but something tells me that has to do with also teams not throwing the ball as much on them because they allow 25th in net yards per attempt allowed per pass. But then in the rushing defense, 30th in total yards in the NFL, 26th in yards per attempt there. If there's an element of this Cardinals defense that should scare the Steelers at all from what could happen in this game, is it just Buda Baker, or are there other things developing that Steelers fans should be on the lookout for on Sunday?
Well, Jalen Thompson, his safety, the guy in the back end of that defense has been playing really well, you know, approaching double-digit tackles the last 2 weeks in a row. He's got his hands on a football the last 2 weeks as well, back-to-back games with an interception. He's one of the more underrated, I think, just defenders in the entire NFL. So Thompson stands out, JT. But then, you know, that was pretty neutralized by the Rams last week was this team's ability to create negative play. Going into week 12, they were a team that was in the top three in tackles for loss. And without a household name, this pass rush group, they've been able to rack up close to 30 sacks on the season. I think it's been impressive and a testament to this coaching staff, this defensive coaching staff. You know, overall, the numbers, they kind of match the personnel. But I think that when they are successful and able to get off the field, it's due to themselves creating negative plays, putting the offense in, you know, third and long and not in third and manageable. And it's due to them kind of being disruptive and getting in the backfield, you know, getting ball carriers down behind the line of scrimmage.
I think that's the thing, is that the line of scrimmage is going to be huge in this game. The Steelers, Mike Tomlin told Keanu Benton, the rookie that they drafted out of Wisconsin, they wanted the Steelers to be a goon squad. They wanted them to be physical on the line of scrimmage. And that's where the Steelers have won a lot of their games, especially in the last four straight games since Broderick Jones became a consistent starter at right tackle for the Steelers. They have rushed for over 150 yards four times in a row. Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, whoever's got the ball out of the backfield, somebody is getting yards for the Steelers. Is there an element to the Cardinals' run defense that the Steelers need to watch out for counting? Do they stunt in different ways? I know they got guys like Jonathan Ledbetter and stuff up front. That have like really interesting names. Zaven Collins, a guy that Steelers fans used to talk about in draft season, who I don't think has lived up to the hype of what he was drafted to be. What's the biggest part of the Cardinals' run defense that either the Steelers should watch out for, or do you think is going to make this not a great showing?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Zaven Collins is making the position change from off-ball linebacker to a pass rush specialist, but playing off the edge has been encouraging, but he's still a guy that's just learning a new position. It's kind of more unsung guys like Victor Dumakeji, a sixth rounder out of Duke from 2022, who's been getting his nose dirty, filling gaps and stuff like that. And then Dante Stills, who might be familiar to that area, played at West Virginia, yep, has been a very encouraging rookie out of the sixth round. The final piece of their 2023 draft class has been probably their best and most consistent defensive lineman. And he's been pretty solid against the run. He probably had his worst performance, as did most of his defensive line, against Kyren Williams and the Rams last week, where they were gashed, gave up 200 total scrimmage yards from Williams. And they're going to look to kind of get back to where they're playing steady run defense. And I think they're willing to give up some chunk runs, maybe some not explosive runs, but accept those in order to make maybe some negative plays and give themselves a chance here and there to get that defense off the field. But it's definitely something where if it goes poorly, it can fester. And I don't think that they have the personnel, especially at on the defensive line, to keep pace if the Steelers can get it going and really establish the run early with Najee and crew.
Yeah, Dante Stills, definitely a name that people remember around here. He was much talked about. In fact, he just played at Accurature Stadium last September in the backyard brawl when Pitt and West Virginia locked horns in a big showdown. And he was also very good in that game. That was a back and forth game, and he was a major factor in it. He was someone I was also keeping my eye on when I actually got to talk to him very briefly at the combine. So, it's good to hear that he's doing well, and I'm sure WVU fans are excited about that. We're going to get to predictions parts of this show. Bo Brack, Chris Carter, stick with us. We have a lot to discuss here on the North Shore Drive podcast as far as how we see this game playing out. But first, I want to remind you, this show is also brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Whether you're going in the North Shore of Pittsburgh for a Steelers game, a Pitt game, whatever you're in the North Shore for, you got to make sure you stop at Mike's Beer Bar, because they're the best bar. They have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available at all, on on tap at all times. And every week they're switching new ones in and out, so you always get new options when you visit there. They also have over 20 televisions, so whether you're in for college football Saturday as conference championship weekend is here, or if you're in trying to catch a Penguins game late at night or watching NBA games, college basketball season, all that can be had, and you can even reserve tables with TVs specified to the game that you and your friends want to watch. Come into Mike's Beer Bar, and when you get there, they also have amazing meals like their steak on a stone, where you can order your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone, and every piece that you cut off, you press into that heated stone, and you can get the steak, each bite of your steak done to the likeness that you choose every single time. Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Bo Brack from PHNX Sports. He covers the Cardinals. Bo, let's talk about what to look out for this game. If there is an element to the Cardinals game that the Steelers need to most be worried about for a trap game in this situation. The Steelers are 7-4. They're in the heat of the wild card race. If they win this game, they're a game back of the Ravens, who are the one seed in the AFC right now. What is the biggest element that they need to lock onto so that they don't drop this game at home?
Yeah, I think if they need to avoid the James Conner homecoming game where they established the run, and James Conner, who before he went out with an injury to the IR a couple weeks back, you know, if they can kind of feed him and establish and get that offensive balance to really set up Kyler Murray for success and maybe see a couple stack boxes and maybe find some of these lesser known wide receivers with a couple of his guys out, and Kyler Murray kind of get right, I think they can do it on the legs of James Conner. And if they're going to have success, they're going to really have to establish the run from the former Pitt hero there. I think James Conner is a guy that's poised to break out. He's definitely was not utilized too much in their loss to the Rams. And I think he's hungry to go and have a big game in front of, you know, where he from Western PA, played college there, and of course was drafted by the Steelers. I think he would love to have that performance.
Listen, there will be certainly a homecoming for James Conner, because he is much appreciated with all the battles that he was a local hero for, how he got cancer in the middle of his career at the University of Pittsburgh, battled back, became a star again for the Panthers, then was picked by the Steelers. And I remember they used to chant that man's name at Steelers game when he started to take over while Le'Veon Bell just chose to sit out of the 2018 season. So there's a lot of people in this town that still have a lot of love for James Conner. And maybe you're right there about that being a big element of this, because the Steelers defense, they get after the pass rusher well, the quarterback well. They get interceptions, they force turnovers, but they rank 21st in rushing yards allowed, 22nd in yards per attempt. So they've gotten better at that as the year has gone along. Of course, half the year they were missing Cam Hayward, which is a big part of it. But that is an element of the Steelers game that I think if the Cardinals want to find a way to get in this, if they can get James Conner going, and Mike Tomlin talked about, hey, when he gets to the second level, he's a problem. So our front has to keep him bottled up in the backfield. I do think that that's the big thing there between the run game for the Cardinals and making sure the Steelers continue to win their turnover battles. When the Steelers' offense has been terrible, when everything else has gone badly for the Steelers, their turnovers have saved them. They're plus 11 this year in turnover differential. That's tied with the Niners for the best in the league. Who are the big turnover creators on the defensive side of the ball the Steelers should watch out for, Bo?
Yeah, Jalen Thompson, as I mentioned, he had two picks the last two games. Garrett Williams, he's got one in his early career, and I think he proved at Syracuse to be kind of a ball-hawking corner, as I said, playing kind of the nickel slot cornerback. And then look for guys like Dennis Gardeck coming off the edge to try to get their hands on some football and out of Kenny Pickett's hands. So, but outside of that, you know, it comes at all different levels of the defense. But the main guys are JT and Garrett Williams playing on the back end of that defense.
I feel you there. All right, Bo, as an expert who covers the Cardinals, what is your prediction for this game? What's the biggest factor that plays into it? And give us a final score, how you see it playing out.
Yeah, the biggest factor is, can Kyler Murray and this offense, can they jumpstart things? Can they get going, and can they kind of flush last week's performance against the Rams and in the end of the game against Houston 2 weeks ago, where this offense has gotten stagnant, right? And it's not just not putting points on the board. It's not, you know, getting anything beyond a three and out. They have to, you know, sustain some drives, and they have to get it going. And I think if they can get it going, they can be, they can be competitive. But this is a Cardinals team that is undermanned across the board. It's one of the worst. Still, you know, Kyler Murray can make enough throws to keep it competitive. But I think that the Steelers, they do what they've done all season, find a way to win, but a tight one, because the Cardinals also, for the most part this season, have been competitive. I think that they can keep this one tight, 17-15, and the Steelers improve to 8-4. Cardinals drop to 2-11.
17-15. Listen, if the Steelers get 400 yards of offense again and just 17 points, people are gonna be asking a lot of questions. I have the Steelers scoring a bit more in this game, particularly because I think the defense kicks in a little bit. I think that they're able to create some turnovers. I think it's the same thing on both sides. If the Cardinals jump out and get hot early offensively, I think that they don't necessarily continue it, but it certainly puts the Steelers on their heels and they have to kind of control game. But if the Steelers offense comes out and they're able to run the ball early and they get an early lead, their new offensive coordinator, Eddie Faulkner, has kind of changed the tone of the offense from how they prepare. That could be the biggest factor there opposing to this game, in my opinion. But we will see Sunday, Acrisure Stadium, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Bo, thanks so much for joining us. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, of course. Check us out on a daily basis if you want to find out what's going on with this team. At PHNX Cardinals, PHNX Sports, and follow me at Pope Rock on Twitter for all the insight going into on Sunday's game, along with what Chris and the great people at the Gazette are doing.
Thank you so much, Bo. Thank you all for tuning in to the Acrisure Fan Advantage. I've been your host, Chris Carter. We'll be back with Ray Fittipaldo Monday talking about this game. But, of course, we'll have our guys, Adam Bittner and Paul Zeiss, breaking down their post-game reaction to the game and how the Steelers played. And we'll get all your sports coverage here at Post-Gazette Sports here on this YouTube channel or on your favorite podcasting app. We'll see you then right here. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.